Good evening and welcome to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. I want to thank you for joining me this evening. And for those who are listening in for the first time, my name is Sonia Jewell and I'm a natural therapeutic specialist and massage therapist at the Evergreen Spa and Wellness Center right here in Ely. It is my pleasure to be with you every Wednesday evening during this hour to talk about various health topics, nutrition, and safe and natural alternatives. As per request of some listeners, I will be talking about osteoporosis and how to heal bones. Now, 50 years ago, most people had never heard of osteoporosis, and doctors saw few people with this condition. Hip fractures or compressed vertebrae resulting in painful curvature of the spine were unusual and affected primarily the very elderly people. Now we are faced with the growing osteoporosis epidemic, and we are told that 1 in 2 Western women will have a fracture due to osteoporosis. Now, most people's idea of osteoporosis may be a mature woman whose height has shrunk by several inches, is hunched over, frail, and liable to break a bone with the least bump or fall. And yet, many people have no visible symptoms until a minor fall causes a break. According to statistics, more than 1.5 million fractures of the hip, spine, wrist, and other bones are caused by osteoporosis each year. By 2004, more than 10 million people in the United States were diagnosed with osteoporosis, and about 80% are women, and the rest are men. Now, men over age 50 are at greater risk of breaking a bone due to osteoporosis than of developing prostate cancer. And there are millions of other people who are not diagnosed but are thought to be at risk. So osteoporosis is classified as either primary or secondary. And primary is defined bone loss due to aging, and especially in those over the age of 65, when bone can lose the ability to repair and bone tissue is lost. Now, secondary osteoporosis is caused by other factors, such as, 1, drugs, including steroids in the form of prednisone, contraceptives, certain types of progesterone, etc., excess thyroid hormone, certain cancer treatments, some antidepressants, blood thinners, and acids, and also non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Motrin and ibuprofen, etc. Secondly, health conditions including liver or kidney diseases, cancer, gastrointestinal disease, endocrine imbalances, and diabetes all are causes for osteoporosis. Our bones are affected by levels of hormones, insulin, and hormones produced by stress, such as cortisol. So imbalances of any of these can contribute to brittle or weak bones. Also, if you don't get much exercise, you may not make enough growth hormone. And when cortisol, which is a stress hormone, is elevated, you absorb less calcium. And in fact, the extra calcium is drawn from the bones. Also, weight is an issue. Being underweight or having a small stature makes you a candidate. But on the other hand, also being obese or overweight also puts you at risk. And then, of course, another contributing factor is probably lifestyle and family history, which are also implicated in osteoporosis. And smoking reduces intestinal absorption of calcium, and it can also have a direct toxic effect on bone cells. Also, while small to moderate amounts of alcohol may have a good effect on bones, heavy drinking is very harmful. Also, being sedentary ups your risk. Nutritional deficiencies are a big factor also. For instance, to make up for mineral deficiencies, the body robs minerals from bones. And last but not least, environmental toxins are involved, as they are with so many other health issues. Toxins and metals are stored in bone, which can lead to fractures or osteoporosis, because they damage bone and prevent healing. Now, before we continue with today's topic, let's take a short break with music. And the CD I chose for today is by a group called Lady Antebellum. And the CD is titled Need You Know. And I hope you will enjoy this song. And I'll be back shortly with more information on this topic.
She grew up on the side of the road where the church bells ring and strong love grows. She grew up good, she grew up slow, like American honey. Steady as a preacher, free as a weed. Couldn't wait to get going, but wasn't quite ready to leave. So when I sing, pure and sweet, American honey. There's a wild, wild whisper blowing in the wind, calling an American honey. Get caught in the race of this crazy life, trying to be everything can make you lose your mind. I just want to go back in time to American. Summertime and American honey. I've gone for so long now, I gotta get back to her somehow, to American honey. Summertime and American honey. And American
honey. Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today's topic is osteoporosis, and I have explained some of the factors that can contribute to secondary osteoporosis, such as drugs, certain health conditions, being overweight, lack of exercise, nutritional deficiencies, and environmental toxins. Now, women are at greater risk for osteoporosis because they have less bone to begin with. And they can lose up to 20% of their bone mass during the first 5 to 7 years after menopause. And we are told that this is because of low estrogen levels. However, menopause is not the so-called cause of osteoporosis. The two are only temporarily related. So bone loss can begin long before menopause, even in a woman in her 30s. And younger women who don't have regular menstrual periods and women who have their ovaries and or uterus removed have a much higher rate of osteoporosis. What triggers bone loss in men as they age is not clear. Although risk of fracture increases when testosterone levels are low. So there's never just one cause for bone fragility. Medically, having osteoporosis means low bone mass and deteriorated bone structure resulting in fragility. It's like your house's structures have been corroded and weakened by termites and rot, making them less dense. But bone density is not the only factor, even though it's the only one we seem to hear about. It is also about bone fragility, such as weakness, lack of flexibility, and poor bone quality. If bones are brittle or of poor quality, they will break when you fall. However, there is no way to measure brittleness or quality. But there are tests and drugs for bone density, and that's why bone density is stressed. Most of us think of bone as a hard, permanent substance. Yet, bone is dynamic, living tissue and constantly undergoes remodeling, which translates in the removal of old bone cells and the formation of new bone cells. Osteoclasts are cells that break down bone, and osteoblasts are cells that make bone. During your first 30 years, more bone is formed than is lost, and after that, you can begin to lose more bone mass than is actually replaced. And by the age of 70 or 80, women can lose a third to half of their bone mass. But not every elderly woman or man develops osteoporosis, and it is more than just aging. Osteoclasts come from the same bone marrow cells that make white blood cells, and so the immune system and bone health are connected. White blood cells, called T cells, are called to action, for example, when deteriorated or damaged bone cells need dismantling. And osteoclasts are called to the site by osteoblasts. Once damaged bone cells are removed, osteoblasts reproduce replacements. So osteoporosis is a disruption in this awesome removal and repair process, and it is a degenerative disease. Normally, the body builds and maintains healthy bones throughout life. It is when the body must adapt to less than ideal circumstances that it builds weak and fragile bones. Therefore, osteoporosis is not an inevitable result of age. It is created just like other chronic degenerative diseases such as heart disease, cancer, arthritis, and others, by the industrialized, polluted, undernourished environment we live in. It is widespread in developed industrialized countries and relatively rare in traditional societies. Nowadays, osteoporosis is diagnosed in one of two ways. The first is by suffering a fragility fracture, and this happens when a bone breaks under a force that would not break a healthy bone, such as falling down from a standing position. The second is a low bone mineral density score, meaning a T score of less than minus 2.5. And before 1993, osteoporosis was defined by the presence of a fragility fracture. And with the invention of DXA machines, a new definition was established based on T-scores, BMD scores. And the idea was to identify and treat people who were at risk before they had a fragility fracture. However, in 2001, the National Institute for Health added bone quality to the definition. But bone quality is vague and difficult to measure. There is no test for it. So doctors use BMD, which is the bone mineral density. A low BMD doesn't necessarily indicate if you will go on to develop a fracture. In fact, only 25 to 45% of women who break a bone have T-scores less than minus 2.5. So you could have a normal BMD test and eventually suffer fractures in years to come. T-scores for each person vary depending on what part of the skeleton is measured. And although bone density may decrease at menopause, healthy bones can lose up to 70% of density and still not become brittle enough to fracture. So it is not bone mineral loss that is as much of a problem as poor bone quality. Now, other tests such as the online fracture risk calculator, or FRAX for short, may be somewhat better at predicting fractures, yet so far they miss some aspects of risk. There's also ultrasound of the heel that can assess bone density and provide some indicators of bone quality. However, it still should be evaluated with other risk factors. So to prevent or treat osteoporosis, menopausal women were for many years given hormone replacement therapy. But when it was confirmed that the patented hormones caused more problems than they solved, including the increased incidence of breast cancer and heart disease, they were largely abandoned. And a lot of the osteoporosis drugs have side effects and interfere with important functions. A lot of the drugs, such as Fosamax, can cause a person to become more susceptible to cancer, infection, inflammation, and arthritis, to name just a few. Bone is the largest storage site in the body for heavy metals. While normal bone continuously breaks down, getting rid of some heavy metals and damaged or weak bone tissue, when you take drugs such as Fosamax, the capacity for breakdown, repair, and restoration is skewed. The heavy metal burden is not lessened, and toxic metals go deeper in bone, which can eventually lead to things like bone cancer. If you stop bone loss, you limit bone building, and therefore osteoporosis drugs aren't all that amazing. And it is stressed that people taking any of them also need to supplement with calcium and vitamin D. But the health problem of osteoporosis is being hyped. Most of what you could do to prevent osteoporosis later in life has nothing to do with getting a test or taking a drug. What is most important is nutrition and exercise. And before I will explain in more detail how you can prevent osteoporosis effectively, let's take a short break with music by Lady Antebellum, and I'll be back shortly.
Traffic crows, cell phone calls, talk radio screams at me, but through my tinted window I see a little girl, a rust red minivan. She's got chocolate on her face, got little hands, and she waves at me. Yeah, she smiles at me. Well, hello world, how you been? Good to see you, my old friend. Sometimes I feel cold as steel, broken like I'm never gonna heal. And I see a light, a little hole in a little girl. Oh, hello world. Every day I drive by a little white church. It's got these little white crosses like angels in the yard. Maybe I should stop on in, say a prayer, maybe talk to God like He is there. Oh, I know He's there. Yeah, I know He's there. Well, hello world, how you been? Good to see you, my old friend. Sometimes I cold as steel and broken like I'm never gonna heal. I see a light, a little grace, a little faith unfurled. Hello world. Sometimes I forget what living's for, and I hear my life through my front door. Hello World. Hello World. All the empty disappears. I remember why I'm here. Just surrender and believe. I fall down on my knees. Well, hello world. Hello world. Hello
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Today we are talking about osteoporosis. And I also want to mention that when exhumed skeletons of women who lived 200 or more years ago were examined, it was found that loss of bone tissue didn't occur as fast as it does in today's women. People are breaking bones more than they used to at the same age. And differences in physical activity may play a part. But experts suspect that modern-day pollutants and toxins and the lack of adequate nutrition and exercise is a vital factor. And we have all heard about the benefits of taking calcium and vitamin D supplements to prevent osteoporosis. But it is not that simple. Bone is not just calcium, and calcium doesn't function in isolation. Benefit from calcium involves foods or other factors such as an adequate amount of vitamin D and regular exercise. And studies also found that there were no benefits when calcium was taken in a non-food form, such as calcium carbonate, which is basically blackboard chalk calcium. Getting calcium from food or food supplements works best. So women who get most of the calcium from real foods have stronger bones than those whose calcium comes mostly from non-food calcium supplements, even when the pill poppers get more milligrams. And researchers can't say for sure why calcium from food and food supplements is more beneficial. Maybe it is because foods contain other compounds that improve bone health along with the calcium. And you may not need as many milligrams of calcium and international units of vitamin D when you get them from food, because the synergistic effect makes them more powerful and useful. By the way, calcium from real foods appears to affect estrogen processing in ways that improve bone health. But with non-food calcium supplements, none of this occurs. Most calcium supplements contain inorganic non-food calcium like calcium carbonate, which has not been validated as worthwhile. Calcium citrate and other forms of non-food calcium may be absorbed better, but still leave much to be desired. And then there are ads and experts telling us that milk products are a superior source of calcium. Yes, they contain calcium, but pasteurized, homogenized, chemicalized milk products are far from ideal. In fact, the famed Nurses' Health Study showed that after 18 years, there was a significant increase in fracture incidence among women who had the highest intake of calcium from milk and other dairy foods. In fact, countries with the highest dairy intake, including the U.S., have the highest rate of hip fractures and osteoporosis. And it is possible to get all the calcium you need from non-dairy sources. For example, in fact, you absorb and use calcium from cruciferous vegetables such as cabbage and broccoli and kale, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, etc., much better than from pasteurized milk products, even though the amount of calcium is lower in the vegetables. B beans, spinach, carrots, sardines, and other foods are also better. So when you get calcium or other nutrients from real foods, including raw milk, your body can choose how much it needs to absorb, and it can do so much better than tampered with foods or non-food or synthetic supplements. So taking one isolated synthetic or non-food nutrient, such as calcium, in fact creates imbalances which are worse than the actual deficiencies. Vitamin D is crucial for bone integrity. It enhances calcium absorption, helps maintain blood calcium levels, and also regulates calcium and phosphorus balance. An analysis of 20 studies found that vitamin D helps prevent fractures. Synthetic vitamin D is added to milk and other industrialized non-foods, but doesn't really fill the biochemical bill. The natural form is vitamin D3, or cholecalciferol, as it is found in fatty fish and is also manufactured in the skin. Most supplements are made with a type of synthetic vitamin D3, but taking too much of the synthetic form can lead to kidney stones or other kidney problems, and muscle and bone weakness. Getting enough vitamin D from food is difficult unless you eat a lot of fish or eggs. So sunshine is a terrific way to get vitamin D, and we spend too much time indoors under artificial lights. And we have been warned against sun exposure, but now scientists admit that modest amounts of sunlight exposure can greatly enhance our vitamin D levels without increasing the risk for skin cancers. And sunscreens with an SPF 15 decrease vitamin D production by 95%, and as we age, substances in our skin needed to make vitamin D decrease up to 75% by age 70. Also, vitamin D is needed for the prevention of many types of cancers, diabetes, autoimmune diseases, and it is also needed for cardiovascular and bone health as well as mental health. It greatly helps prevent depression. And for ongoing research and information, I would like to direct you to a great website. It's www.vitamindcouncil.com, and you can subscribe to the Vitamin D newsletter, because the list of benefits of vitamin D continues to grow. Or you can also go to www.westonaprice.org, and there's wonderful articles about the benefits of vitamin D and how to get them from natural sources. But before we continue with today's topic, let's take a short break with my music. And when I come back, I will talk about other important nutrients for bone health.
I wonder if I ever
a quarter after one. I'm a little drunk and I need you now. Said I wouldn't call, but I lost all control and I need you now. And I don't know how I can do without. I just need you now.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. If you just happened to tune in, today's topic is osteoporosis and how to heal bones. And I explained the importance of calcium and vitamin D in food form rather than in synthetic or isolated form. However, the story of nutrition and our bones goes far beyond calcium and vitamin D. For example, phosphorus is the second most abundant mineral after calcium in bone. A deficiency decreases bone building and increases bone breakdown. A small percentage of elderly people don't get enough dietary phosphorus, but it's more likely for people to get too much. The typical American diet contains plenty, even excessive, phosphorus, and this interferes with calcium use and balance, and it also impairs the production of vitamin D. In fact, the intake of phosphorus is so high that it may be contributing to the increased incidence of osteoporosis. Carbonated drinks, especially cola, processed foods such as baked goods, many fast foods, many food additives, and abundant consumption of meat without enough vegetables and fruit can lead to excess phosphorus. Another important nutrient is magnesium. Without it, calcium can't be adequately used and deposited in bone. It is also needed for bone flexibility, and it regulates hormones involved in bone health, such as vitamin D and parathyroid hormone. Fruits, vegetables, nuts, beans, whole grains, and dairy products, especially raw milk cheeses, and yogurt, are good sources. Also, the more potassium you consume, the less calcium you lose. And the more calcium you lose, the more you need potassium. And researchers recommend that you get potassium from fruits and vegetables and not supplements containing separate non-food potassium. Also, getting too much sodium may contribute to osteoporosis. Now, sodium itself isn't bad. In fact, you need a fresh supply every day. But excessive salt in the form of sodium chloride can increase calcium excretion in the urine and decrease blood calcium. Prepared and processed non-foods are particularly loaded with salt. And refined sodium chloride is a bigger culprit than real whole sea salt, which actually provides balancing minerals. So the issue with too much sodium is in not getting enough potassium from vegetables and fruits to balance it. So make a special effort to eat more potassium-rich real foods in the form of vegetables. But there are many other important nutrients such as iron, zinc, boron, copper, manganese, iodine, and silica, and vitamin K. And all these nutrients can be found in whole grains, nuts, berries, fish, and mineral water. Vitamin K activates an enzyme that is crucial for attaching calcium and other minerals to bone protein. And it participates in the formation of bone collagen and helps complete bone building effects from vitamin D. So low levels of vitamin K increase the risk of fractures. In order for vitamin K to work properly, it is important to have healthy bacteria in your intestines, so probiotics are very helpful. Drugs such as antibiotics can reduce the production of vitamin K in your gut by up to 74%. And elderly people tend to produce less vitamin K. So green, leafy vegetables and algae are among the best sources of vitamin K1. And vitamin K2 is found in meat, egg yolk, aged cheeses, and non-pasteurized fermented foods. It also was found that when levels of B vitamins are low, rates of osteoporosis and fractures are higher. And postmenopausal women with osteoporosis have lower blood levels of vitamin A, C, and E than women without the disorder. Liver and fish have lots of vitamin A, and so does cod liver oil. Carotenes from fruits and vegetables are converted by the body into vitamin A. However, separated synthetic vitamin A used in most multivitamins and to fortify processed foods such as low-fat or non-fat milk, breakfast cereals, margarine, and the like is not good for the bones or the body in the long term. Women getting large amounts of manufactured vitamin A had nearly double the risk of hip fracture compared to those who got the least amount. And some studies indicate that a high intake of imitation or synthetic vitamin A actually accelerates bone loss. And the same is true for vitamin C. Those getting lots of dietary vitamin C had less bone loss and much better overall health than those taking synthetic vitamin C because it is the whole package and all the cofactors are needed to make biochemical processes happen. Fats also play multiple roles in bone structure and function. Various fatty acids, both saturated and unsaturated, are needed, and they complement and work with other essential nutrients. Omega-6 and omega-3 fats increase calcium absorption, increase calcium deposited in bone, improve bone strength, and stimulate collagen production. So eating fatty fish such as salmon, tuna, and mackerel, flax seeds, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, and green vegetables, or taking a fish supplement will give you omega-3s. People getting the most conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA, in their diets had higher bone mineral density than those who got the least. And CLA is found in meats and milk from truly free-range pasture-fed animals. However, refined omega-6 fats, such as in processed foods and most vegetable oils, are linked to loss of bone strength and density. So before we continue with this topic, let's take a short break with my music from today's feature CD. And when I come back, I will talk about the importance of protein in your diet.
Everybody keeps telling me I'm such a lucky man. Looking at you standing there, I know I am. Barefoot and beauty with eyes that blue, sunshine sure looks good on you, I swear.
Oh, I can't believe I finally found you, baby. Happy ever after, after all this time. Oh, there's gone.
when you got a good thing, you know you keep on bringing out the best in me. And I need you now even more than the air I breathe.
You can make me laugh when I wanna cry. This will last forever, I just know.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. Now, today's topic is osteoporosis, and we talked about the importance of certain nutrients and how to obtain these from your foods. And there also is evidence that not getting enough protein is detrimental to bone health. Eating too little protein may up the risk of osteoporosis in older people. And some studies found that women eating larger amounts of protein, particularly from animal sources, have greater bone density than those who eat less protein. However, a diet high in meat, fish, and other proteins, but lacking vegetables and other foods supplying complementary nutrients, won't be very helpful to your bones. And some studies indicate that eating more so-called acid-forming foods, such as meat, fish, eggs, and grain products, as well as less so-called alkaline-forming vegetables and fruits, increases acid loads. So in other words, meats and other proteins are beneficial only when their acidifying potential is balanced by the alkalizing effects of vegetables and fruits, and not in the form of French fries or sodas, but in the natural form. So a wholesome, varied, real food diet is important to supply the variety of nutrients and other food factors needed for the complex processes that maintain the integrity of our bones. As unique individuals, we each need to determine how much protein our bodies require. The typical modern diet is the most acid-yielding than any other in human history. And one reason is our farm soils have become more deficient in acid-buffering minerals. Another reason is that people are eating less nutrient-dense foods and more non-foods lacking needed minerals. And this can mean that minerals must be borrowed from bone to offset the acid. Bone loss accelerates with deficits of magnesium, calcium, potassium, sodium, zinc, and other acid buffers. And it was found that osteoporosis occurs more often in countries where the diet included refined carbohydrates such as refined flours and sugars. Refined sugar increases the loss of minerals in the urine. I also want to mention vegetarians don't necessarily eat an alkaline-forming diet because a Western vegetarian diet is loaded with refined wheat products, refined soy products, refined sugars, and other non-foods that are almost devoid of many bone-building nutrients. So, in other words, any diet high in refined carbohydrates and or meat but low in vegetables and fruits can lead to bone problems and other health issues. We need protein, but animal protein is not the problem. It's the lack of other nutrients and the consumption of non-foods that places people in jeopardy. When our bodies get the nutrients they need, there is a balancing of acid and alkaline. And many so-called acid-forming real foods are just as effective in ridding the body of acidic wastes as are alkaline-forming foods. Both acid and alkaline minerals work together to cleanse and nourish the body. And it is important to distinguish between non-food acids that are toxic and cause degeneration of bodily tissues, such as bone, and real food acids that are nutritious, beneficial, and help rid the body of acidic wastes. We can't assume that foods high in acid-forming minerals will add acidic waste and therefore must be avoided. Many traditional peoples who ate what many would call an acidic diet are known for their excellent health and longevity. A so-called alkaline diet is not required for good health or a normal blood pH. Since deposits of acidic wastes in various areas of the body don't necessarily raise blood acid levels, trying to balance blood pH through diet probably won't make much difference. As you can see, you need a wide variety of nutrients for healthy bones. A diet of healthful real foods is your foundation. The real truth behind the osteoporosis epidemic is that most women can maintain healthy skeletons if they use a minimum of prescription drugs, eat a healthy diet of whole foods with a third raw, exercise regularly, including resistance exercises or weightlifting. And if you are at risk for or actually have osteoporosis, you can consume a raw bone supplement such as calcifood wafers by standard process. And if anybody's interested, I have a free information sheet titled Osteoporosis and How to Heal Bones by Dr. Bruce West, who is a medical doctor and strictly works with whole food supplements and whole food concentrates like myself. And this article outlines some of the information I presented today and will also give you some suggestions for a nutritional protocol based on whole food supplements, which I have available in my nutritional practice. Also, if you would like to improve your health in general, call me at 365-2288 to make an appointment for a health assessment, and I'll be more than happy to establish a wellness protocol for you. And for a list of my services, you can visit my website at www.elywellness.com. And now it's almost time to wrap up today's show, and so we will take another break with music. And when I come back, I would like to share an article with you regarding the healthcare reform.
First time that I saw you, looking like you did. We were young, we were restless, just two clueless kids. But if I knew then what I know now, I'd fall in love. You're on a bus in Chicago, to the left. You know my heart was racing for you, but we never even met. If I knew then, would I know now? I fall in love. 'Cause love only comes once in a while, knocks on your door. Of my car, instead of trying to get to know you, I took it way too far. But if I knew what I know now, I'd fall in love. Oh, 'cause love only comes once in a while, knocks on your door. Chances, I can't get them back. But if again it comes calling, I'm gonna make it last. 'Cause love only comes once in a while, it knocks on your door and throws you.
Welcome back to the Natural Health and Wellness Hour with Sonia. It's almost time to wrap up today's show, but before we do, I would like to share an interesting article with you regarding the healthcare reform and what it should look like. And I wholeheartedly agree with the writer, Kim Evans, and she's a natural health writer and the author of several books. And again, the article is titled Healthcare Reform, How It Should Look. And the article goes like this, quote, "Healthcare reform is the hottest debate around, but unfortunately, Washington has it all wrong. Healthcare reform shouldn't be about who is going to pay for more drugs for people. Healthcare reform should be about how to create and keep healthy people so that symptoms of disease aren't apparent and prevalent. In truth, healthcare reform should start with agricultural and dietary reform, specifically by getting the literally thousands of allowed chemicals in our diets out of our diets. It should be about getting the processed and chemical-filled foods off the shelves and making sure that the natural foods on the shelves aren't genetically modified, radiated, or have pesticides or man-made chemicals in them. Healthcare reform should be about cleaning up our environment and finding more natural energy solutions so that people aren't breathing in dangerous fumes from burning fossil fuels and other pollutants each day. Healthcare reform really should be about getting people off drugs, not making sure that drugs are affordable so that they can buy and take more. Healthcare reform really shouldn't be looking to add more chemicals to people's bodies, no matter who pays for them. It should be looking to remove the hundreds of toxic chemicals that are already in there, many of which have been there since birth. Healthcare reform should immediately end sugar and factory farming subsidies and shift them to sustainable organic farms. Healthcare reform should end factory farming and genetically altering foods to avoid polluting the land, nearby crops, and people. Healthcare reform should end the use of antibiotics in humans and animals so that our healthy bacteria, which is our first line of immune defense, isn't routinely destroyed. Healthcare reform should educate people about natural substances like coconut oil and garlic and how to take them as effective antibacterial agents that don't destroy our immune systems. Healthcare reform should get the mercury out of our mouth, fluoride out of our water, and aluminum out of any deodorant. Healthcare reform should help people understand that the unnatural foods they regularly consume and chemicals they are continually exposed to actually do hurt them, even if it takes a little while for the problems to show up. Healthcare reform should help companies admit when they are doing or making something that is harming people, instead of allowing the standard denial route. And it should then ensure quick changes are made to a non-toxic route when a problem is found. Healthcare reform should end the widespread availability of McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, and acidic soft drinks. Healthcare reform should teach people how to prepare delicious and healthy meals using a multitude of fresh fruits and vegetables. Healthcare reform should switch out dangerous and toxic choices for conscious and natural options and do it in a way that is affordable for everyone. Because returning to the way nature intended us to eat and eliminating all of the common poisons in and around us is really the only logical place to start. When it's all said and done, healthcare reform shouldn't be about what's best for the drug companies, insurance companies, medical industry, politicians, processed food makers, pesticide makers, genetically altered foods pushers, or even oil companies. It should be about what's best for the people, you and me. And hopefully this will give you food for thought, and I will leave you on this note. And thank you so much for listening this evening, and I hope you enjoyed the information as well as the music. And if you have any questions concerning today's topic, please don't hesitate to call me at the radio station. And I also want to remind you to make a trip to the Whole Foods pantry at the Evergreen Cottage to stock up on organic fruits and vegetables, organic meats and dairy, and natural foods. And if you happen to be in the Virginia area, make sure you visit the Natural Harvest Food Co-op. Remember, let food be your medicine.